sick leg for a serpentine in red. Elevate your tricep, you're a martyr in bed. And you're sitting on the gold mine, shooting up the whole time clean.
All right, everybody. J. Roddy Walston in the business. My man, J. Roddy Walston. I'm Joe Bartnick. We have Andy Pecora right next to me in Burbank. The captain, Fraser Smith, is he was a morning. He took the morning skate, and he had that laser eye surgery thing that all the Hollywood types do, Andy. So he.
I didn't realize that was surgery. So it was a good surgery. It was enhancing his.
Yeah. He's totally cool. He just thought better not to drive that beautiful Cadillac of his. So he's at home. I'd hate to see the caddy get anything happen to that caddy or Fraser Smith. So we'll give him a call right now. He'll be on board momentarily, the great Fraser Smith, and then we'll get going, because what's the sense of doing anything and then saying it again to Fraser? And we are going to start summer. This is the final summer programming show. The absolute final. I know we're behind 2 weeks on the scheduling for previews, but the fact that I wasn't in town.
There you are.
Hey, Frage. You in a good spot?
Hi, guys.
You sound good. You hear him, Andy?
Yeah, I hear him.
Hi, everybody.
Right on. You're on the air. I was just saying this is the end of summer programming, but we're ending with a bang. We usually do our you know, best ever teams at least once every other summer, but I figure who wants to hear Lemieux, Gordie Howe, and, you know, Scott Stevens again for the billionth time. So... We're going to change. It's always the same cast of characters, which it will be again, but just a little bit more spread out, because Frage is doing pre-1990. I'm doing 90 to the original, to the big lockout that brought us Sid and Ovi and Gino. And then Andy is doing, is going to have Sid and Ovi and Gino on his list of teams. So
I'm doing I'm doing like 05 to 20-ish, let's call it, to now.
So you're not going to have Kirill the Thrill on your list.
No, we'll talk about it a little bit. There's a next list that I think we could have done.
Well,
on top of that, I left a lot of guys off because they're going to be on the next list.
Well, we're saving it for next year. Hopefully,
yeah, exactly.
but Fraser, tons of news going on. Now let's get right into it. First things first. First game in Gladno last night, two nights ago. Jaromir Jagr, 2 goals and an assist. I'm asking Ron Burkle to buy. I'm asking him to buy the country of Czechoslovakia and bring Jagr home and ship Evan Rodriguez over there and make Evan Rodriguez make him work in a coal mine to earn his $1 million.
Well, you'll do anything to get rid of him. And Jagr, how old is Jagr now?
49, 50.
He's not over 50 yet?
No, I think he's 49. I think he's going to quit at 50. So I think he's going to quit when
close.
He's getting very close.
He's getting up there in Gordie Howe territory. Wasn't Gordie 53?
Yes.
When he hung him up?
Yes. And, you know, and no offense to Mr. Jagr, but the World Hockey Association, a little tougher than the Glasnow Glorified Men's League. Still impressive. Still impressive.
Yeah.
But Gordy was playing at Hartford. I know where Hartford is on the map. I don't know where Gladno is.
I barely know where the Czech Republic is.
I know. I don't even think it's called the Czech Republic anymore, right?
Well, it's where Russia used to be.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that wrong? The Slovakia and Czechoslovakia. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I do know where Hartford is. I've driven through it 40,000 times.
Yeah, with your head down.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, but I like the Whalers.
with telling Verzi or Brian Plum, we're going to be late by 3 hours. I didn't expect this traffic. Big news in Red Wing land. Tyler Bertuzzi not getting his shots. Rosie just got her second round of shots. I don't know why Tyler can't get his shots, but he'll miss 9 games in Canada. That's like 1/8 the season. What's he doing, Frage?
Well, I don't get it. And Canada is very strict about their policies, so he should know that. And come on, get your shots. I don't get it. He should. Get them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not being political. I could care less what anybody does. But if you're going to play in the National Hockey League and you're going to miss 9 games and you're making $9 million or whatever, $5 million bucks, what he just signed with $4 million, he's making a good amount of money.
He won't be making some of that money now. He'll miss those nine games worth of game checks. Because I believe if you do something like the league tells you to do, and then you can't play because of it, or you don't do that thing, and then you can't play, I don't think you get paid. I don't think he's getting game checks. So
that's true. I mean, I don't get it.
Are you sure about that?
I'm almost positive. They told everyone you have to be vaccinated. He showed up to camp unready to go. It's almost like showing up out of shape. If you can't play, they can't pay you. It's like not passing your physical.
Right, but say his wife's pregnant and he goes on medic. He goes to stay with his kid 3 days.
That's totally. He clears that with the team. That's okay.
That's kind of another lame excuse not to play a hockey game, though. Excuse me, all you woke. Oh, men should get sick leave, whatever, medical leave.
Yeah, but if you're the GM and you don't do that, the guys will bitch. You know what I mean?
I understand. I'm just saying.
And that's a player association thing, too. There's certain things you can leave for, like someone's sick, things like that. But if you, like I said, I imagine it's the same as failing your physical, which the physical is all about the contract. You're not able to play.
Well, I don't know, Fraser, you're the closest thing to a doctor because your brother's one. What? I don't know. I mean, is that on the medically unable to perform list? I don't remember that fight with Donald Fear and the players union over the summer. I mean, Bettman, they really covered up that whatever. I guess they assumed everyone was getting their shots.
Well, the players union acts like one body, but there's 700 people. I mean, the players union agreed to the shots, but not every single player agreed to the shots. So I think that. Or even agreed to get them in a timely manner, as we're seeing with this. Archibald. I don't know. We'll see if he's the only one. But
Nate Archibald, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Zach Rinaldo asked by JD not to come to Columbus training camp because he's not shot up. But you know what? There's probably a million reasons not to bring. Why you want Rinaldo to kill a prospect for? You know, I keep Rinaldo out till December anyway. What do you need him for? Until he fights. Go ahead, Fred.
Aren't they keeping NHL players off rosters if they don't have a shot?
Yeah, they're not going to camp.
That's what I'm saying.
Those are the only two I know of. But, there's probably another one.
But Archibald and Rinaldo are literally on a banana peel to the AHL anyway. Bertuzzi's the only real player so far, right?
Yeah, I
hate to be uninformed and just keep talking about this, but I mean, he's the first person that the issue has come up.
In the NHL, yeah.
No one is saying, Zach Rinaldo can't go to Canada. He'd probably be a healthy scratch against Toronto anyway.
But if this were, 32 people working at, a laundromat, there'd still be, three people that didn't want to get the shot. I think it's just the nature of the way this goes. And we don't want to get political about it, but I'm sure these guys are political to a certain degree. I mean, there's no other reason not to go get the shot and go make your money.
That's
a good point.
That's what makes me think. Go ahead, Frazier. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, Canada is very strict about the shots in general. Because all my relatives live up there, and they've been telling me stories about trying to cross the border. They're real strict about it. So he should know that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of shocked that he's putting his money where... And good for him if he believes in that. I just can't believe he's putting his money where his mouth is. He's missing nine games.
Well, it's also complicated that...
That's why I'm wondering if it really is he's not going to get those checks, because that seems like a big matzo ball to leave out.
Did you see Ken Holland announced today that Alex Stalock will miss the entire 2021-22 season with a heart condition related to him getting COVID-19 last season? So Edmonton especially, I guess right now and today, is going to be pretty gentle with this subject.
All right, well, let's move along. The big, big, big news of the day. The big news of the day. Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov can rest easy, along with Minnesota Wild fans, along with Billy Guerin, along with fans of hockey everywhere, except maybe those in Russia who thought he was going to come back and play with the Witch. 5 years, $9 million a year for Kirill the Thrill. Andy pointed out to me that people thought it was too much money. I think they stole him. He's the franchise. Yep. They're giving him less than Eichel. He's making $2 million less than Marner.
But how long is the list of guys that had one season that was a point per game season and then never did it again? It's a really long list. I think he's going to be great, and I think he probably will live up to the contract. It's just a big risk to take on a guy that had one good NHL season so far. I mean, $9 million for a guy after one good season, I mean, Marner got $11 million after three pretty good seasons. So yeah, that is more egregious, but still, at least he was around a little longer. I mean, I just $9 million is a lot.
Well, I didn't see Kaprizov playing with Austin Matthews.
Well, I mean,
Kaprizov was a whole ball of wax. He probably has already sold it. He's probably sold his contract and season ticket in jerseys already. And okay, hey, say 5 years is not an 8 year. It's not a 10 year. It's five. He can stink for 2 years. They can sucker somebody else to give him a fresh start. I mean, it's not that long of a contract.
It's not, but I don't know. I mean, Radulov went from having good contract to a bad contract to a good contract. Some of these guys, especially, and I'm not trying to say Russian guys in general, just say overseas. I don't know. After 1 year, it's just a lot. To me, it's a pretty big commitment. You're right. The term isn't that long. But I don't know. I don't know if he's definitely going to be worth, you know, paying one of the top, you know, two or three wingers in the league moving forward. But maybe he will be.
Well, let me put it this way to you. Even if he's in the – say he's not a top five player. Say he's a top 50 player. Don't you want to finally, if you're in Minnesota, finally have a guy that people want to go see and you're excited about it and you're marketing him and he's a star. He's going to be in the All-Star game and people – he's on highlights.
Sure. I wonder,
$9 million is not the most extravagant number.
How willing
that.
Was he really to go to KHL? I mean, he must have been really well. They must have believed that he was willing to go if they gave him the $9 million, because that's where it's coming from. They could have signed him for less if the KHL pressure wasn't there. If he was from, Ontario, I don't think he gets as much money because he's not going to threaten to go back home. So I think that was another thing that was at play was what we talked about. He is a great player. Minnesota does need something to have people come through the gates for, and he had the leverage of arguing, well, I can just go to Russia and I can, you know, Putin will give me a factory and, you know, in a field of horses and shit, whatever they give those guys.
Well, but Frazier, what do you think? Nine's excessive, or you think nine's a little high, a little low? What do you think?
I think it's about right, because Andy's right. You know, there's a lot of players. There is a long list of players who dropped off after their first good year. Had a sophomore slump or whatever, never really reached that peak again. But this guy is the franchise. He really is the reason that, you know, Minnesota fans want to come out and watch the team, basically. They have marketed him as the new guy. And I think his play lives up to that. I think, you know, you got to pay him. I think it's a pretty reasonable contract.
And this is just my only point. He's played 55 games. I'm positive on this. I don't even have to look it up. That's the biggest contract in the shortest amount of games played, definitely in the history of the NHL. Nobody else has made almost $1 million in future money per games played. He's going to make like $49 or $48 million on this contract. He's played 55 games. It just seems crazy to me. And he had 51 points. It's not like he had 78 points.
I think, once again, he did it in Minnesota. Who has lit up Minnesota? I mean, since the North Stars, not one.
That's my point. I mean, he's their guy.
Yeah, I mean, and if you can name one of the three centers he played with last year, you can win a puck off T-shirt. I mean, come on. It's not like, oh, he got to play with Sid or he got to play with Backstrom last year.
But Jack Eichel had like 2.5 good years, and we were saying the same thing. Like, maybe it's a little much, and now we're saying they can't move him. It's a problem. We don't know what's going to happen. So I just, given that contract early, even after 3 years, it doesn't work out sometimes.
I'm not going to, you put it, when you say it like that, it sounds stupid, because Jack Eichel's been nothing but a disgrace. But
I'll just say, and we had 3 years.
But how could anybody figure out that? I mean, it's probably the worst contract in the NHL right now. I mean, Galchenyuk looks better right now.
Well, he's on a PTO somewhere.
But whatever contract he had 5 years ago sounds better than whatever they gave Eichel, because now they're going to rip the captaincy off him and they're saying he's injured and he's coming anyway and he's complaining and he ruined a friend. It's like he went to Beirut and made it worse. Like, how can he make the Sabres worse?
Because
his era is worse than the one that got him.
The Sabres are a team store for the Bills. And I say that with no, I'm not trying to take a shot at Sabres fans. Your owner likes owning the Bills. He likes paying attention to the Bills. He has 6 professional scouts. The Red Wings have 20. The Maple Leafs have 25. Buffalo has 6. So it's like they're not even trying. So I don't even know how much I blame Eichel anymore. He's at a place where they're not even they hired a soccer coach. How many times have we been over it? They did the real Ted Lasso.
Eichel's attitude is crap. Period. Let's not talk about Eichel. Speaking of guys, and no one, let's cut that. New segue. Elvis Merlinkins, however you say his last name, Merlinkins, 5 years, $5.4 million to be in Columbus's net. That to me is a lot of money. I know you're paying people to stay in Columbus, but 5.4? Frage. Five for Elvis Merlinkins. I mean, what?
Seems a little high. Seems a little high to me.
Did I miss something, Andy? Did I miss his career?
You nailed what it is. I mean, I mean, Werenski got more money. Werenski's a great player, but he got $1.5 million more probably than he should. And they're going to have to pay $1.5 million, maybe $2 million more per season per player they want to keep him. They tried to do it with Bobrovsky. He still left and went to Florida.
Bobrovsky couldn't get other fat.
They tried to do it with Panarin. They tried to give him more money than the Rangers did. Didn't want to do it. And so when Laine might sign a $13 million a year contract in Columbus, just so, again, Columbus has at least three guys where they can sell jerseys and have a point to not being in Cleveland yet.
Bobrovsky, he was like me on a Sunday show. Like, his suitcase was packed in the green room. I never saw someone wanting to get out of somewhere faster than Bobrovsky. I mean, he was packed at the All-Star break. He wasn't he didn't get his dishes dirty at his house after February.
No, and the list is long with guys like that in Columbus. I mean, they either sign guys when their career's kind of done in Fedorov to sell some jerseys, or they've made just awful personnel decisions. I mean, you know, all the trades they've made have all ended up in guys walking. They never keep anybody that they trade with people that are good players for. I mean, Jack Roslovic is their big takeaway now from all this. If Line A walks.
Yeah, I don't know. It's another sad scene we talk about too much. Bob Thomas. Don't call him Bob. Robert Thomas. 2 years, $2.8 million. I like Bob Thomas. He is a Blueser. The Blues are going to be sneaky pretty good this year. I think we said it last week. If Bennington plays pretty good, I think the Blues are on the up and up here. Cal Peterson, Frage, your buddy, 3 years, $5 million a year. Now, what that says to me is Jonathan Quick is going somewhere by the All-Star break, right?
I think that's probably true. That's a good sign of that. And I think they had to go with Peterson at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think five is a little much for Peterson, but I would have said 3, 5, 4, 5 million. You're saying Peterson's your next goaltender at $5 million, or is your goaltender at $5 million?
Was it three or 5 years?
3 years at $5 million a year.
I think he's super tradable at that. I think if you don't want it to be your next goaltender, or something happens, or you're not going to make the playoffs one of these next 2 years, and somebody is and they need a goalie, you might be able to hold someone ransom.
You know, we've said that a long time on this show for years, and then it doesn't happen, though. No one does move.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But goaltenders, I think, do, actually. I think they're the ones that we do kind of see move.
A playoff race and they need a good goaltender. They you know what I mean?
Or like, maybe they just need two.
You know what I mean? Like, they move in the summer, obviously, this summer. Yeah. And I'm not saying they don't move. I'm just saying where you're thinking, like, oh, you know who would put X think. Over the top? This guy. And that guy never
gets... it's a backup move, usually. It's not usually a starter move.
Right.
We've seen a lot of backups, I think,
move. But would you want Cal Peterson as your backup as a guy who's never been in a playoff game? You're going for a veteran guy. Other than Jari, wouldn't you take anybody else to back? I mean, if you're Tampa, is your first call Cal Peterson? If you're Florida, Florida's different. They already have two goaltenders. I'm just saying, the Avalanche are going to take Cal Peterson
in an emergency, and I'm already a team that's spending a lot in goal. Like, so Florida's a good example where they're spending literally $14 million already in goal. If one of them goes down, I don't know. Maybe that if that could be the plan there. Florida's a good example of maybe that would be a place where I could see it happening if there's an injury there.
I guess because you're saying they use a long term IR.
I think at that point, at any point in the deadline, you're using your long-term IR.
Yeah, no, I see veteran guys coming in at playoff time. I never see younger guys coming in at playoff time.
I think that's true, but I just think that I like Cal Peterson, and if Cal Peterson was in Pittsburgh, I would love this deal.
Hey, I love it right now. I'll take Cal Peterson right now.
Yeah.
Him and Louis Domingue. Get rid of both. Get rid of the midget and the choke artist. I just think it leaves... I think it leaves Quickie. I just had a thing on Facebook, like me and Quickie hanging out at on Fox Slot, the old like Throwback Thursday, or whatever. I think Quickie's got to be out the door now.
Well, how much is left on his contract? Well, I think he is done after soon, right?
I think this year, maybe next year. But he's making like $6-7 million. They're not putting $12 million in to their goaltending.
They can afford to in a year where they're not really trying to. Bring in more high dollar players. Like I don't think they're having a cap issue right now.
No, but I think they're going for it.
Well, I hope they get something good if they trade Quickie.
Yeah, I mean, I think they might be trying. I mean, you know, maybe the final piece. They're all in this year.
Yeah, he's got 2 years left.
Yeah, 2 years. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're not paying $12 million for goaltending. Nobody is except Montreal, in Tampa,
in Florida,
Florida.
Man, he's not movable to me at that price.
Okay.
Well, I would keep him around then. You know, you need two good goalies.
Well, you know, it is a five. Is that true? A 5.8 hit, and most of the money has been paid out already. Meaning it was front loaded. So for teams. That is, you know, I think maybe they could move. Maybe there is a destination for Quick. Maybe that signing does mean that they have a place they can send Quick.
Andy, am I wasting everyone's time here when I?
No, but it had to make sense numbers wise. If he was still making like he's due $3 million, $2.5 million, $2 million, or something like that. If he was due 5.8 those next 3 years, that's really tough to move.
Well, I think it's no. Well, I think half the league has owners that don't care. Burkle and Lemieux aren't going to care that they have to pay him the full salary.
I think there's seven owners that don't care now. I think after the last 2 years, there's about 25 that do care.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean for sure.
Yeah.
These guys are just tired of losing money. They've been losing money for 2 years. They're not guys who lose money.
That's why they're rich. Kevin Hayes out 6 to 8 weeks, abdominal surgery for the creamsicles. Okay, there's a little ting in the creamsicles plans. Losing him's pretty big, 6 to 8 weeks.
And they always start slow. You know, they always have that slow start that they're trying to fight back from the Flyers, I feel like. Like inherently. Them and the Rangers are always fighting back from a slow start. It's a big one. But you know what? All we've been talking about is how they went out and got depth. Depth, 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 depth. They didn't get a lot of center depth, but all they do is get depth, so... We'll see.
They're going to be a better team, but losing him 6 to 8 is a big deal. They traded Nolan Patrick to the Predators, and then the Predators sent him to Vegas, and he suckered Vegas, which I'm happy. Let's see Vegas go down in a flaming pile of crap. And a former cream, it could be any better. Former creamsicle now in Vegas. I can root for him to get hit in the head. Nolan Patrick, 2 years, $1.2 million. He suckered them.
Well, I would have only given him a 1 year deal. But if he, I mean, I don't know. I think he's a $1 million player.
I'd make him deal with the casino. 1 point. He ain't worth one. He hasn't done diddly poo squat. And I thank God he's the number two overall pick.
If we didn't hear about how good he was going to be and what a menace he would be, maybe we'd go, he's an efficient player. But I think because he was supposed to be so good, this is the type of guy you win with, blah, blah, blah. And he just didn't see any of
that. He was a number two overall pick.
Yeah.
He's more disappointing than Eichel. He's more disappointing than Eichel. At least Eichel had two good seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never panned out.
So you can go have fun in Vegas. Here's a class act as opposed to the last guy. Travis Zajac retired.
Yeah, I hate
it. He'll be in the Devil's Wall of Fame.
He did the 1 year.
I would think.
Wow. Ooh, the Devil's Wall of Fame is tough to crack. You know, he's right there. He's in it. You know, he's been the last era's Jay Pandolfo.
Well, do you sign for a day to not become like an ambassador, to not take, if you're going to take a check as the ambassador or whatever you're going to be to get your,
I don't know.
Would you sign your 1 day to then, he's going to be working in the organization somewhere.
I don't know what that
somewhere.
Means. I think the 1 day thing is purely ceremonial. I don't think it truly means anything.
It means you're in good graces back with the organization.
Sure. And I think we'll see Flower. I think we'll see Flower do it as well. I think Flower will do the
where in Vegas or
no? I think he'll. You know what? That's an interesting question. I mean, I think he would have liked to do it in Vegas for the fans, but I don't think he'll ever. I don't think you'll see him in that building for a long time until management changes.
When Flower goes to gamble with Sid and Gino, it's going to be in Reno. I don't think Flower's ever going back to Vegas. he'll be in Tahoe with Lemieux.
Do you think he's
going to
be hugging McPhee the way he hugged Rutherford the first time he saw him and stuff? I don't think so.
I don't think he's hugging anybody from Vegas.
No.
That's what's interesting, right? Is Zajac retired and his buddy in Jersey signed a 5-year extension or 5-year deal with the Islanders. I'm spacing.
Palmieri.
Yeah. And didn't you think he was closer to Zajac in terms of what was happening with his career?
No, just because I think Zajac became a guy that could definitely win faceoffs and was really solid, but Palmieri is a guy who could still like really score. But Zajac had a good playoff.
I thought they were much closer as far as age gap of career length.
You know what? That's the value of being a winger. You got less to do. You got less notes after the game of what you did wrong. I think wingers can play longer. But maybe there's something to that. Look at Jágr and Howe. Maybe there's something to not taking draws and having all that responsibility down the center of the ice.
That is a very smart, astute statement because usually I would think, who lasts longer? When I was growing up, an aged old grizzly veteran who can win a draw or an old winger that can't get down the ice.
Yeah.
A guy that can win an old veteran centers used to always last long. I mean, we got to take Howe and Jágr. They're superheroes. Take Howe and Jágr out of it. Don't centers last longer, though?
You have so much more to do in the defensive zone. And for you to have still the legs and the skills in the offensive zone for a guy like Howe and Jágr, I don't think an example now would be Ovechkin. I'm not going to dog Ovechkin's defensive game because it has gotten better over the years. It's never been great because it can't be. He expels too much on the other side, and centers just can't do that. Centers have too much. Centers have to defend behind the net to the high slot, to the low slot. They have a lot of responsibility in that defensive zone that I think older players, especially offensive older players, don't commit to. They can commit to standing there at the point next to their defenseman who they're supposed to cover and then get ready for the breakout. But more than that, in the defensive zone, like Crosby and Bergeron, what do they do in the defensive zone? It's so tough, shift in, shift out, that eventually at like 38 or so, they're just not going to be able to do it anymore.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But Frase, when I was younger, when you were younger, didn't it seem like centers lasted way longer than wingers did in the league?
Oh, I think so, definitely. And I think some of Palmieri's best hockey was in the playoffs, this recent playoffs.
Absolutely. I just mean, look how long Trotch lasted. Look how long Ronnie Francis lasted. Yeah. I mean, those guys, the guys that can win, look at, what's his name, the last no-helmet guy, McTavish. Guy lasted an extra two generations.
Well, I think it's across the, board now.
Well, you don't take that pounding in the corners like the forwards do.
Well, I think they took more of a pounding back then, but I think that now, I used to think when I saw the Penguins play the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2016, that was the fastest hockey I've ever been to. Any game I've been to since then has been the same speed. When Sid came in, he was so fast. It was incredible, him and Kane. Now everybody's that fast. The game is just fast, and I think older players, especially older players with defensive responsibilities, it's going to be harder for them to stay in the league as these guys are such good skaters. Well, everybody skates like the wind. It's crazy.
Well, that's a good point because then they don't – because centers have to get back.
Yeah, they have to play the whole ice.
So they have to be faster. All right, that's a great point. The other – more big news. Zdeno Chara, back to the fisherman, back to the sea where he once came, the monster. The Islanders are loading up. If they don't win it this year. How did he become an eye? Man, the Penguins could have used him. But Chara, you like seeing Chara back in. I remember Chara playing against Lemieux. That's how long ago he was. I remember he was an Islander against Lemieux. He was gangly 6'9".
I remember thinking he stunk on the island. I remember watching.
Oh, I know he did.
Jersey, he was terrible. He was clunky. He couldn't get to the corners. He high sticked everyone. Yeah, and he took a lot of. He wasn't a good fighter either when we first started. He was just a big goofy guy. He got his butt kicked a lot. Like it was an interesting career path he's had.
Well, those were the days too when they. I mean, nowadays there's those days there was real heavyweights. He was 6'9", 260. Okay, well they had guys that were 6'4", 250.
Yeah,
fighting from the woods of Canada,
and they were boxers.
Yeah,
they weren't even hockey
players. Yeah, like Peter Rowell and all those.
Kids. Kosher was still running around at that point in time. Yeah.
I think Charles still helps the team.
He absolutely does.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't play. Just having him there helps. I mean, Char is a huge lift, and yeah, the Islanders are. I don't remember the last time a team was this all in. Like they're.
Yeah, they look good, man.
Or this complete.
Yeah, they pushed all the chips.
I mean, you know, Lou St. Lou.
Yeah.
I mean, who else? He can't do any better than he did right now. He can't get a better team together.
He can't. And I know, that's, I'm not saying this team has Hall of Famers, but depth-wise, this team is better than any of the Devils teams that won, depth-wise. The Devils teams that won had 10 incredible players and 20 players that could play. This team is, you know, 1 through 23 amazing.
Well, some of them are going to be on my list here in my 90s. So here's all the player tryout. Oh, one more. Zach Smith, gritty center. I like Zach. No, yeah, but a guy hanging around. Zach Smith, he hung him up, but good for Zach. He always liked him on my team. Never did, but he's a tough-ass center. All right, here's the guys on PTOs. James Neal. The real deal in November, not so much in the spring. Mr. November, James Neal, and Michael Frolik will be trying out for the Bluesers. I can't see Neal getting along with the Chief in St. Louis. I can't see the Chief enjoying James Neal's repertoire, if you will.
Well, if I'm James Neal, I don't want to start on a contender because you know you're going to change teams halfway through. And he'll probably have a good season wherever he goes, and they'll still trade him because they can't stand him. Yeah, I don't add him to my roster as much as I think he can score 23 goals. I don't add him to my roster.
Yeah, he is. I don't think he's going to make it out of camp. I don't think he's going to make it out of camp. And goodbye. Sevier, former Penguin, trying for the team in Edmonton. How could we not use Colton Sevier? Colton Sevier is a better player than Evan Rodriguez. I'm sorry, but he'll be trying in Edmonton. Our old buddy Alex Galchenyuk will be in Arizona. Alex, if you can't make the Coyotes this year, you'll be playing with the Witch in Russia.
Yeah, he's on that team.
Your favorite, Jimmy Vesey, New Jersey Devils, and Mr. Game One, Mr. September 29th, Mark Jankowski. Also trying out for the Devils.
He's not
making that team.
I don't know. I think
Vesey maybe, but Jankowski.
Yeah, Jankowski, put him on if he's willing to sign a two-way and send him up and down, or sign him on a one-way and don't care if you lose him. you always need big defensive bodies. I don't know. I could see him making the team. Vesey, again, when is he going to be the guy that he's supposed to be? Why is he?
He had a nice cup of coffee with the Rangers like 5 years ago. He's still living on. I remember how good he was.
No, it shows.
He was good.
No, it shows what a good season with the Rangers, and if they move you right away, right before, it'll last. If you stay bad with the Rangers, it'll go bad quick.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the end of summer programming is upon us. Let's go. Let's do our four words, all of our four words, and all of our, and then we'll do that. So, Frazier Smith, your pre-1990, 12 forwards, your top four lines for pre-1990.
All right. My first line, Gordie Howe.
Shocker.
I know, right? Well, you said we'd be using some of the same.
I know. So that's why we broke them up a little.
Gretzky, of course, and Super Mario. And then on defense, I had Orr and Larry Robinson.
There you go. Can't beat that's the standard issue.
Yeah, pretty much.
Stamford. All right, Frazier. I was going to say, just do all your forwards.
All the forwards.
No problem.
All the forwards. Then I had on my second line, I had Bossy, the Rocket, and Bobby Hull. And my third line, I didn't do four lines. I did three lines. My third line was a big John Beliveau, Phil Esposito, and Guy Lafleur.
Can't beat that. No one's beating that team.
That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I don't think my 90s team beats that team. You can't beat a line that has Beliveau, Esposito, and the Flower.
I almost put Mess in there instead of Esposito, but I thought he would mesh with Beliveau and Lafleur better since he's older.
Yeah. All right, I'll do my 90 to 2005. There's one homer call in here, and there's one homer call here. Okay, the top line will be left winger Kevin Stevens. He burned bright. Better to burn out than fade away. Kevin Stevens entered the 90s as the power forward. And left, not so much. 66 in the middle, right winger, still playing today, Jaromir Jagr.
Nice.
Second line, left winger, Luke Robitaille.
Yeah.
Second line center, Ronnie Francis. Third winger, right winger, Brendan freaking Shanahan. Okay. The third line, Fedorov and Tockett are the wingers. Stevie Y is your center. Fourth line, Sakic centering Forsberg and Teemu Selänne. Not appearing on the list. All apologies to Pavel Bure's family and Brett Hall, but I'm sorry. You asked me who I'm going to take over Brett Hall and Pavel Bure. I'm taking Rick freaking Tockett. Someone's got to protect Teemu Selänne. And Team Teemu, I remember when Team Teemu was just ridiculous. I have a soft spot for the Winnipeg Jet Teemu Selänne. Andy Picaro.
Yeah, great player.
Now, did you do your D?
No, we're just doing the forward.
Oh, doing the forwards. Okay, I was stuck waiting for those. Up front, I have the first line is pretty obvious. And again, I'm doing 05 until now. And I excluded McDavid, Matthews, anybody like five or less years in, I excluded them because then it gets kind of confusing. So I had Ovi, Crosby, Kane are my top three. And then the rest of my forward list, my head coach, Joel Quenneville, can figure out. There's too many centers. I'll leave that to him. I have Tavares, Datsyuk, and Marchand. And then Thornton, Bergeron, and then Hossa. And then I had Kopitar, Eric Staal, and Zetterberg.
No Gino.
I don't know.
Gino over Eric Staal over Gino Malkin.
You know, I can't believe I didn't look at anything when I made this. I just made it off the top of my head, which makes it a little bit worse, I guess. It was an oversight. I would put him on, but I remember I bumped off Matthews and Tavares, and I put on Tavares and Staal. I should have put on Gino, but again, I was worried about the number of centers. But yeah, no, he should be on. I made a mistake. I'm not going to defend that. I left him. He should be on.
He's the second best center.
No, he should be on. I'll have to peel off Kopitar and put him on.
Well, I would keep Kopitar. Who was the who was the second guy right before Eric Staal that was shocking? Who's the next?
Tavares?
I'd rather have Gino than Tavares. I would keep Tavares and Gino and knock off Staal.
Mm.
Tavares is a better player than Eric Staal.
Yeah, but I'm looking at it like I need a third or fourth line guy. That's why I like having Kopitar and Staal there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Kopitar. I don't know.
No, but you're right. No, Malkin should be on. I just forgot him. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not saying I meant to leave Malkin.
The guy's an injured reserve phrase. You can't make a. No, I guess Andy was making up the top 100 list.
I wanted to do this. You know, that's funny. I wanted to do this off the top of my head. I wonder what that even says about me as a fan or about Malkin. I did this off the top of my head. I didn't pull up anything. And I didn't write him down.
I hope Rob Rossi's not listening to this. He will never come back on.
I didn't write him down.
Oh, man.
All right, Frage, we'll move along. Your sixth defenseman from
pre-90. Well, I had Bobby Orr and Larry Robinson, as I said. My second defensive pairing, Paul Coffey and Red Kelly.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
And my third, I know Andy will like this, I had Brad Park. And Al McGinnis.
Wow, look at Al stepping over a few people.
I know, but I like this. You got that cannon of a shot.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, I'm not knocking out my Hall of Famer.
I wonder how hard Al could have gotten the puck if he was shooting with a composite stick now in like his prime? If we were to get a 27-year-old Al McInnes a composite graphite stick and have him take a slap shot, it might go 115.
Al McInnes actually earned a way into the Ring of Honor in St. Louis, or have his number retired. And you know what? This is the end of summer programming. I'm going to throw in. I can't believe this is probably the first year ever in 8 years of summer programming that Al Iafredi has not made an appearance.
Oh wow!
we haven't made it easy enough to pick Al on every team. Usually, wow. Al comes up on a favorite list or whatever.
That's true.
Badass list, yeah. Poor Al McGivney. Poor Al Iafredi. Finally, not it's like Bonilla not getting his check this year. What happened? No, Al Iafredi. All right, here's my list. Top 6D, 90 to 2004, 2005. Of course, Mr. Summer Programming, Scott Stevens. Chelios. Lindstrom. Niedermeyer. Larry Murphy. Robert Blake.
Nice. You got Blakey in there.
Yeah, I left off Ray Bourque. I thought he kind of was in both eras, and I liked everyone I picked. I'll defend everyone I picked.
They're all good.
My defenseman, I left off Lidstrom and Niedermeyer, even though they bled over into mine. And the fact that you mentioned Lidstrom, so I'm happy that they're more. Even though Lidstrom lifted the cup in the era I'm covering, I left them off. I mean, I wrote them down with a question mark. But for me, it's Keith, Doughty, Carlson, Chara, Buff, and Rafalski.
Yeah. Yes. Nice to see a big Buff.
That's that. Those
squeaking
are my
in
guys.
Summer programming. Nice. Rafalski. Wow.
Well, he's just a guy I personally saw play a lot, and I really think he's one of the most underrated players in the history of the league. I'm not even overstating him with that. And Sidney Crosby has said that Rafalski, besides Lidstrom, was the toughest guy he's ever played against in the playoffs. And that was the nightmare of the Red Wings to him, was that Lidstrom's not on the ice, great Rafalski is. Like they both gave him so much trouble in those finals that he considers him as playing him as well as anyone has.
How many winners were Rafalski? He must have at least three cups.
At least. I don't think he was there for the first. He definitely wasn't on the first Devil's Cup. I mean, he was definitely on the 03 team. I don't know if he was on the team, the 99 team. I don't think he was on that team, or 2000.
He was a Devil for a long time.
He
and
was.
And then he went to the Red Wings. And won
I think he has at least two with the Devils and one with the Wings. But
and no Christopher Letang on that list?
Also receiving votes. Christopher Letang, Brent Burns, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Oh, wow. Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And who else? You seem like you're missing somebody.
I do, but I didn't look. I was hoping for you guys to chime in with something here. Who am I missing?
Well, Erik Karlsson.
I had Carlson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then how about other John Carlson?
No.
Victor Hedman.
Oh yeah, that's a.
I knew there was somebody huge. I'm sorry. That's it. I won't.
Do I take off Buff?
If you want my opinion, they all deserve to be taken off over Hedman. Hedman's a
Hall
of Famer for sure.
Yeah, yep. I probably take.
I keep Big Buff because I kept talking in Stevens.
I don't know. That's tough. Yeah, you're right. Hedman should have made it. Well, you know what?
I like Big Buff being on there though.
Yeah, take off Big Buff.
That's why I didn't look. Yeah, you know what? Man, I think I take off Keith.
How about where's PK Subban at?
Not on my list. I mean, list of exciting and fun to watch. Maybe he makes that list. Not anymore.
Roman Josi? And his
No, although Yossi's closer than some of the other people we've mentioned.
For a couple seasons, Erik Karlsson was one of the best ever.
Oh, absolutely. And Chara made your list? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Chara made the list, yeah. And that was another one where I was a little bit like, the lore of Chara and his reach and who he is a little bit, more than, as great a player as he's been. I think he's been more of just a great leader and just his physical size. He just takes over the defensive zone with his wingspan. I mean, the fact he can still play at the foot speed he has is purely his wingspan.
Oh,
well, now here's my question, guys. If our teams all played in the 7-game series, whose team would win? Oh, by the way, we got to pick our goalies.
Yeah, we got to do the goalies. I'm going to answer that. You know the one thing that, you know who you left off, and I'm not trying, because you already have too many centers. You left Getzlaf off. You probably had the hardest list to make, because nothing's set in stone.
I have Getz receiving votes as well. Yeah. Too many centers.
No, I'm just trying to think of some defensemen. That's what I saw, like, of Getz. Before we get to the goaltending, I can say, Frage, I think your list wins because you just have so many freaking winners.
I got all the heavyweights.
Who's beating Gretzky? Who's going down the middle and beating Lemieux, Gretzky, and Espo?
Yeah, it's true.
You know. No one's beating Lemieux and Gretzky in the series.
I'll tell you why I think.
Well, your second line center is the Rocket.
Yeah. You know? I just think it's unfair.
Advantage of 60 extra years.
Put them all on the same equipment. It's unfair, like, what the players, like, just look at what, like, Sidney Crosby, who looks like a little guy, looks like with his shirt off now, and the training they do in the regimen. Now they're machines. They're Terminators now. I don't think that the common modern-day athlete, no matter who they're playing, would lose to the next guy. Yeah, like, I just don't think that would happen. I think Babe Ruth would get struck out 18 times in a row if he played baseball today, and I think that, you know, if Ken Dryden was in net tonight, it'd be an ugly game. And it doesn't make Ken Dryden bad. It's just the game has changed so much. Everybody's so good. Everybody's Bobby Orr now. I don't know. I like my team.
Although Bobby Hall is, you know, pretty pumped up, man. Pretty, you know, they always show pictures of him. He looked like he was, a champion weightlifter.
Oh, so same with Howe. You know, he was a big dude. Just the level of athleticism.
Espo.
Train for lateral training now. It's not all, even just strength. They're just kind of like, they're really.
Well, I'll put it this way.
They're like ninjas.
I think Frazier's team can beat my team. Maybe your team is too young, and Ovi and Sid and those guys and Kane are maybe a little bit next level. And maybe it's a little bit closer to the, you know, maybe Lemieux and, you know, the air is a little closer. But I just think, you know, look when Lemieux came. But it's like when Magic came back and he weighed 300 pounds, he just played power forward and just owned the paint. When Lemieux came back, he couldn't even move, and he ran the power play. You know, it's like guys like Lemieux and Gretzky, like, you know, they're just better than everybody else.
And I still think
Bobby Orr and Larry Robinson, who's beating those guys? How are you out playing hockey against those guys?
Well, I think
I'm not saying you're not physically better than them, but how are you getting around Larry? You think Larry Robinson had a few tricks up his sleeve?
I think that once you get past, though, like the initial, like, you know, 10 to 20 guys, basically the list we made, the league overall is so much stronger.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. All I'm saying is that, you know, Guy Lafleur could play in any day.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Even today, even with better sticks and equipment, who's got a harder shot than Bobby Hull or Al MacInnis today?
Well, I don't think anyone. I mean, Chara, I think, maybe did beat. Did he ever beat MacInnis? It's like close. They're like 1-2.
I mean, what you see, though, about the league getting better, and maybe some of it is the rules changing, but you just see guys that just get left off the league. They just can't compete anymore. Look at how many defensemen just went away when you weren't allowed to tackle Sid.
Well,
you know what I mean? And this, I mean, probably Larry Robinson survives, but you know what I mean? Like, but look, just look at the, that's where it really changed. When they changed the rules where all the old veteran tactics went away, and it was just pure skill and speed.
Well, I think now that there's like, you know, the league is like 40-some% Canadian, and it's like in the high 20s American. The Americans getting better at skating over the past 25 years, I think, has changed the league. I think that everyone is a good skater now. There is not one player in the league. You can't make a combine. You can't make a junior team and have foot speed problems. And it used to be, and some of our favorite players, Shanny was good. He wasn't a great skater. There was players in the 80s and 90s who were really good at hockey, but they weren't great skaters. Now you cannot be a great skater and even come close to making the league.
No, in fact, most of the great players, I'd say half of them weren't great skaters.
No, they're just great at playing hockey. they could get the puck and go score, but they weren't great skaters. Yeah.
No, I mean half of our lists are those guys.
Yeah. Now look at the way Ovechkin. Look at Ovechkin's stride. He skates perfect. You know what I mean? Like he's the machine that he is. And Patrick Kane. Now everyone just has a beautiful, amazing, quick stride.
Well, it's like it used to be either you were in Russia and you were like 1 year old, like Gino, and your dad took you out outside, or you grew up in the ponds of Canada. So there was like, that's what made you a great skater. Nowadays, these kids' parents send them to skating class when they're 6 weeks old.
Yeah.
To get that power stride.
I'll promote it only because it's gone. But I used to go to Todd Drevich's power skating camp. The thing was 3 hours a day, no pucks. Never saw a puck for a week. All skating, all week, all day, 3 hours a day.
Sounds like when I play. Never see the puck. All right, Frazier, do your goaltending.
Well, I just want to say one quick thing. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I saw this interview with Gretzky, and he said he went to a game recently with his son, and they sat in good seats by the glass, and his son said, "How could you possibly have played in this league?" And Gretzky said he had to think about it for a second. And he said, "You know what? My hockey sense," he said, "these guys are faster, better skated." He goes, "But my hockey sense, I would have been able to prevail."
Yeah.
And that's, I think, probably true.
Well, because Gretzky was the exception to the rule. I mean, Gretzky took every slap shot at full speed and beautiful stride. He made every pass with his head up, looking the other way. Like, he was kind of one of those guys who was, you know, multi-generational. There's no generation he plays in where he's not the leading scorer by 25 points.
Well, my goalies were a guy who had the same style as Jonathan Quick, never wore a mask, Terry Sawchuk was my goalie, Red Wing, great, and then my backup, Andy said he'd probably be pretty ugly in there, but it was Ken Dryden.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I meant that in context.
I know what you mean, though. I do get what you're saying, but, yeah.
Did Dryden ever lose a big game? I don't think Dryden ever lost a big game, right?
The statue going into the Hall of Fame is Ken Dryden. When you go to the Hall of Fame in Toronto, there's a big statue. You'd think it'd be Wayne or Mario or Gordy. It's Ken Dryden. Well, on the stick.
Yeah, I mean,
Dryden stopped the Russians, man, when they had a really good team.
He stopped the Flyers and the Russians. He stopped two evil empires, the Flyers and the Russians.
Yeah, he did.
We owe a lot to Mr. Dryden. His book's great, too. Did I give you that book? Frage, I read it. It's great. Ken Dryden.
Oh, I got to read that.
Yeah.
You're really, a fan.
Really smart guy. Got into politics and, you know, business.
He quit hockey for a year to be at Harvard.
Yeah.
And not too many guys do that. I mean, now they do because they all come from Harvard. But all right. My goaltending, of course, Mr. Waugh, Mr. Brodeur. And I kind of went a little different here. I picked Mike Richter. Give an American kid a shot. I like Mike.
Yeah.
I went with, this was such a tough one for me, but I went with Hank, Marc-Andre Fleury, and Jonathan Quick.
Vasilevskiy.
Leaving Vasilevskiy and Price off. Vasilevskiy, I think, makes the next one. Price should have made this one. And you know, I don't know. I just never, he never got across the goal line. And I know Hank didn't either, but he was such the best goalie in the league for 10 years that he has to be on this list. Marc-Andre Fleury has been maybe one of the most charismatic and popular players in the league in the past. If you take away Ovechkin and Crosby, I think that Fleury might even be more liked than Crosby because Crosby has so many haters.
He's definitely more liked than Crosby.
I think Fleury.
That's what I'm saying.
More,
he's definitely more liked than Crosby.
So it's like Fleury. I think Fleury's got to be there. And Quickie got it done twice on teams that shouldn't have won. I'm not bashing I'm sorry, the hometown team. But no. To me, those are Quickie Cups. I mean, Quick won those cups. I'm not taking away anything from anybody.
He certainly played amazing. I have no gripes against any of that. I would have put Vasilevskiy, but I see your point. He'll be on the next one.
Yeah, he's my next
one. I don't know who you take off on that. So, Frazier, your thoughts?
Like all those guys. Vasilevskiy, though, it's hard to leave him off, man. But everybody, all the goalies you guys picked are good.
Yeah, Frazier's like, where's Jimmy Howard on that list?
Yeah, where is he?
Also receiving votes, had to give Rask a vote or two. You know what I mean? Because
well, let me ask you this, guys. I know we already talked about equipment and everything's better. And how do you think the pre-mask guys would do in today's era? I mean, guys like Sawchuk or Glenn Hall or guys like that who are Hall of Famers.
Well, they would have to feel like they're God because they have a mask on after playing without a mask. Even just, I mean, I don't play with a face shield and just sticks coming up getting me. I couldn't imagine being a goaltender. Forget the puck. What about sticks hit you in the face?
Oh, man, if you see that, you've all seen that picture of Sawchuk. He looks like a Frankenstein monster. He had, you know, like hundreds of stitches in his face. Unbelievable back in those days.
I think goalies back in those days, and I think still now, are guys that walk the line of extreme sports. They're the same type of people who want to walk a tightrope on, you know, between two tall buildings. They want to climb rocks. They want to do dangerous things. And I think goalies back then were especially those type of guys. They're just adrenaline junkies. Because remember Eddie Johnson used to have a bucket of leeches on the bench, so when he swelled up, he'd just stick a leech to his face, and it would suck the blood down, and he could go back in. I mean, they were just almost like, you know, I don't want to compare anything to war, but these guys were literally just risking their lives to stop a piece of rubber for like 34 grand a year. I mean, they were maniacs. They were complete maniacs.
And all of the beer you could drink.
Yeah. Johnny Bauer, way Johnny Bauer dove across the net head first with his arms out, any puck could have hit him in the head and killed him. His entire career, he risked his life every save he made.
Oh yeah, those guys were wild acrobats too, man.
Yeah,
they flopped all over the place.
I think the good ones. They would be amazing. I think some of those goals would be amazing. Today's game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and again, if you put the training and how well goalies know the net now and things like that, like back then, the arenas, they were different lengths and sizes. The corner might be 10 feet away, 16 feet away.
I didn't know. The goalie coach was the local bartender. Like, your glove was slow tonight, Chico. Like,
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there was no goalie coaching.
There was nothing. No, there wasn't.
There was barely any regular coaching.
I remember Gretzky saying there wasn't always video. Sometimes you had to read the score sheet of the team you were playing against coming up because they weren't all televised. Some games were only on radio in the late 70s.
Right.
Some games you couldn't physically even see to scout.
Well, that was like the old tough guys would always just look and see what number had the most penalty minutes on each team. See who they were facing.
I think Talbot has a great story about that Colby Armstrong, always read the media guide.
Oh, yeah, Colby has a great story about that. Like, he picked on the wrong dude.
Yeah, he didn't read. And somebody, I think it was Dennis Bonvy, dropped the media guide on his chair after the game. He's like, read this. You got to start reading the media guide.
Wow. Yeah.
Bonvy. No one had more fights, right? Isn't he the most guy who fights ever? I think he's the most fights ever.
And I read the dude's name that was always playing for Philly's farm system. They would fight like 8 times a year. Like every time they played, they'd drop. Bonvy really sold a lot of tickets. They should name the next arena in Wilkes-Barre after Dennis Bonvy.
Yeah, maybe they should name it. I hope they name it. I want Evan Rodriguez to be the leading scorer all time in Wilkes-Barre. That's what I want to happen. All right. Next week, the Western Conference. That being the Central and the Pacific. The week after that, we're doing the Atlantic and the Metro. Because then that's it. 2 more weeks before. Because in 3 weeks, the Penguins will have already lost 9-1 to Tampa. When they put their flag up.
This is going to be interesting because besides a Tampa victory in their division, I think, which we'll all probably pick, is anything else easy?
I'm not going to give away what I'm picking. Even
who won't make it, is that easy? I think this is one of the hardest years to pick, given the way the last 2 years went, the way this summer went. This is all over the place to me.
It's going to be interesting.
Every year I pick, I think it gets in my column. This is the hardest year. I don't know. I think this year, I think it's separating a little bit. A little bit. Not totally. I think there's a lot. I think there's more bottom feeders than ever this year.
I think there's a bunch of pretty good teams. I don't think there's a lot of great teams. I think there's a few great teams, and there's a bunch of teams that are pretty good. Well, they could win or they couldn't.
Well, I mean, since we're doing it 2 weeks, people probably forget it anyway. But, okay, just in the Metro real quick. To me, the only true lock is the Islanders. After that, you can make a case for any one of those teams to fall. I mean, I'm going to pick the Rangers, then I'll let you guess the two other ones. But, I mean, right? I mean, other than the others, who do you guarantee is going to be a top four team?
Well, that's why I say it's interesting because I think the Rangers and Devils are pretty good. They're pretty good teams. And I think the Flyers are a pretty good team. Could they also be pretty bad teams maybe if the Checkers? Well, I agree with you on that. I think that it's interesting. But I think there's a lot of teams that could maybe make it, and we could see a St. Louis Blues year. We could see a logo we haven't thought about or talked about end up winning the cup, because I think there's a lot of teams that have a chance at getting in.
And I'll tell you, the team I'm if I had future bets, if I'm in Vegas, I like the Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, those are the teams that are interesting, are the ones who really did improve themselves in the offseason. You're curious to see how much.
Yeah, they're getting Taves back. They say Taves looks like a Greek god. Now they got Seth Jones, and now they got the Flower. Dotch is coming back on fire. DeBrincat.
And they brought in his brother.
DeBrincat was playing great last year.
That's a real interesting team.
I think there's something there. Flower's going to have something to prove.
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much, but they're going to be on my playoff list. They're on my playoff
list. Wetting your whistle. Yeah. Frazier, where you at this week?
Well, I am at the Improv again in Hollywood. They've been really good to me. I'm there on Friday and Saturday night. And I'm also tomorrow night, Thursday night, opening for Tim Allen at the world-famous Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Oh, that's fantastic. I will be I get two gigs in Burbank this week. I'm basically laying low this week. And then next week, me and Andy will be in Rifle, Colorado, and Aspen, Colorado, and another city outside of Denver, doing some theaters up there. So that should be fun. And then October 14th, I will be at Soul Joel's Dome. Me and my Pittsburgh buddy Colin Chamberlain will be at Soul Joel's Dome right outside of Philly. And I'll be in Sacramento, and I got a bunch of shows coming up, but that's that. Sir, where are you?
On the 25th, this Saturday, I'll be at the Mammoth Brewing Company in Mammoth Mountain. Great show. I'm glad that it came back. Usually I have people like Ian Edwards, but it's their first week back, so they're having me.
All right.
Put their toes in the water a little bit coming back. And then I'm with you in Colorado, and then I'll be back in New York at the Pear. And I know on the 27th of October, but I'll have a bunch of dates the last week of October in New York.
Sweet. All right, everybody. Frank, I'm going to hang up and play some tunes. I hope your eyes better.
Guys.
I hope your eyes better as you can see the puck.
Thanks, man. I still won't wear a mask.
There you go, Frank. No, Frank.
Good show, guys. School.
Good show, buddy. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There he goes. The great Frazier Smith will cut off a little soon. And now let's go. What do you want to hear? How about this? Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Andy. Keep all the troops safe. Thanks to all the puppies for being good. This is Puck Off. We're out.
Yeah, you got some juice.